Today's gospel reading comes from the 22nd chapter of Matthew. So then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us, then, what you think of this. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When you hear this gospel story today, that's what I'm going to talk about, is the gospel story. And the words of Jesus, "Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are to God." In some ways, a story like that, it can be easy, like, okay, I get that. But then the more you think about it, all right, maybe it's not so easy. But so that's what we're going to focus on for a second. But I want to read this this other story first to kind of start us off to think about the things of God. And so this is from Mark Allen Powell, and he wrote a book called Giving to God, the Bible's Good News About Living a Generous Life. And Brian Stoffergen is the person who reminds us of this story in his commentary about this gospel. So have you heard the story about the baptism of the Gauls? It may not be historically factual, but this is not a history book, so we won't worry too much about that. The Gauls were a warlike people who in ancient times inhabited what is now France and Belgium. They spoke a Celtic language and were Druidic by religion. By the time of the Christian era, they had been conquered by the Roman Empire and were supposedly under its control. The extent of this control varied, however, for the Gauls never take too well to being conquered, and there were numerous Gallic? I need my reading glasses. Uprisings. A number of Christian missionaries ventured into Gallic territory, and over time, many of the Gauls became Christians. As the story goes, when a converted warrior was baptized in a river or stream, he would hold one arm high in the air as the missionary dunked him under the water. This seemed a peculiar custom, and the missionary soon learned the reason for it. When the next battle or skirmish broke out, the warlike Gaul could proclaim, "This arm is not baptized," grab up his club or sword or axe, and ride off to destroy his enemy in a most unchristian manner. As I've indicated, this story is probably not historically authentic. My guess is that it's a medieval version of what we would call an urban legend. And I certainly do not intend to cast any aspersions on the Gauls or their descendants by repeating it. I just find the image so compelling. This picture of someone, anyone, trying to keep one part of their body, one aspect of their identity, free from the influence of baptism. We are created in the image of God, every tiny part of us. This means that the tiniest parts of our body, the smallest thoughts in our head, etc., belong to God. So the question is, what do you think about that? Does everything belong to God or not? Is there some parts of you, or is there some things that you do that don't belong to God? What are the things that are, well, these are my things? I think we could, if you think about it for a while, you could think, well, there's some things that are my things. You know, one thing that I think is my thing, the most important thing that is my thing, and maybe I grew up as an only child, so I just think this is true for me, I know it's for me, is time. It's my time. Time is my time. Yes, I'm a child of God, but the time, the choices I make, I've found over the years that sometimes I don't maybe make godly choices with my time. Certainly with money, I can confess to that. I may have spent things on things that are not of God or not things that wouldn't be important. And I'm not talking about not paying taxes or things like that, because I don't think that's what Jesus is getting at. But the things that we have, are there things that you hold back? I do. I have. I think we all have. And think about those things. Well, so here we have this story then. So the context of this story is you have, it says the Pharisees and the Herodians, they're sending people to Jesus to try and trap him. Jesus has continually been saying from the moment he was baptized, he started saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. He goes to Peter and says, follow me and we'll fish for people. And here's what the kingdom of God looks like. And the whole time he's saying the kingdom of God looks like the marginalized, the weak, the poor, those who need healing, all those are going to be first in the kingdom of God, and everyone else is not, including you Pharisees, who have created systems that just are not of God. Well, the Pharisees are going back and forth with Jesus throughout the gospel. And so, right before this, there's three parables where Jesus says, nope, it's not about you Pharisees. Nope, it's not about you Pharisees. Nope, it's not about you Pharisees. The kingdom of God is the poor will be first. And in fact, anyone can get in the kingdom of God. It's not about the stuff that you've created for us. Which you've tried to live God's life and how you're supposed to do it, but the kingdom of God is for everybody. So they send the disciples, they try and trick him. And, you know, when you want to get something, a good way to approach someone is to compliment them. So, Jesus, they say, you speak the truth like a prophet. And the text says it the way it does, but the Greek translates it, you don't look at any person. That's what that part, showing no partiality. You don't look at any person and say, you're the person, you're the person, you're the person, you're the person with a capital T on the. But it's you all. So they're trying to compliment him, and, well, you know, Jesus knows human nature, being a human himself, and seeing what he's seen in the world, he knows they're trying to trap him. And so he says, show me this coin. And in true Jesus fashion, he kind of shifts the discussion. So they give him a coin. Now, when they're talking about tax and they're trying to trick him, the tax part is simply, this tax is like, should we pay 5% property tax or not? You know, that's the question. That tax was imposed by the Roman, this specific tax was a census tax imposed by the Roman government on everybody. And that's why he asked for the coin. Because previously they had tried to ask him about a temple tax, which was a whole different thing based on the system of the law and how the Pharisees interpreted that. So this is about the Roman tax. And they figured if he says, you know, don't pay the Roman tax, oh, well, we got, you know, he'll be killed by the Romans. and if he does say pay it, well, then maybe we got another way to get at him, you know, because then he's not thinking about the temple. And then that's when he says this conundrum saying, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar, give to God the things that are God. So, if you look at that phrase, you know, it could be as simple as that. Well, give Caesar the tax that Caesar asked for, and give God the things that God asked you for. And so as he said that, and I think here's the key part, is after that, it says in the text, they were amazed. They were amazed. They were astonished. And this has happened again and again in the Gospel of Matthew, and in 9 different places. People are amazed of what he says. And I think, at least for me, as I was thinking about this text and what Jesus is trying to get at, and especially the things of God, I think, what are the amazing things that happened in the world? I would argue the amazing things that happened, not the tragic things, because horrible things happen, And I don't want to say those are of God, but I'm talking about amazing things. So what are the amazing things that happen? And the things that happen, like I talked with the kids about light. Because I believe what God is saying is, I mean, what Jesus is saying is, we are created in God's image. And that's what we're called to do, is shine. Shine bright like a diamond. We are the jewel of God. That's our nature. And when God's light shines upon us, and we feel it and know it, and then it reflects through us to others, that's who we are. That's our nature. To reflect God's grace through mercy, forgiveness, love, all the things that Jesus preached about. So what does that look like? I mean, that's the next question. So, okay, Eric, I like that image. Just shake your head. Yes, Eric, I like that image. that image works for me. Maybe it doesn't for you, but think about it. That if we're God's jewel, someone reminded me in our text study, pastor's text study, that baptism reminds us that we are the jewel of God. That's a jewel right there. I mean, that's another way to think about it. I think that's just another... Luther said a lot of great things, a bunch of crappy stuff too, about things. He wrote a lot of stuff, you know. But being the jewel of God, it's just... Luther talked about that too. What does it look like? I think, first of all, shining bright through us, through children. That's a place where I see it. Like when children develop and they experience something for the first time and you see that joy, or, you know, we watched Isaiah's football game yesterday and their team lost for the first time. So it was interesting to see how Isaiah would react to that, because he spent 2 years winning. He's never lost. So it was, and he did well. Some of the other players were struggling with what it means to lose. But in that football game, just as an example, you know, two seventh grade teams, and a boy runs through some tackles and is running down the sideline. It looks like he's going to score a touchdown. And another boy is running with him and likes, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And this other boy on defense, he just leaps and just gets that back foot and stops him from scoring a touchdown. It was spectacular to watch. And if you're a sports person, you understand that. That's great. And you could see how that could be an image. If you're not a sports person, that's okay. I got another image for you. But that's an example, especially in sports where things happen, where kids do amazing things for the first time. And it's just joyous to watch. It's a beautiful thing. Or when you hear children sing. Or when we hear readings or prayers or other things from the mouths of children. Last week, when Zachary said, "Rejoice in the Lord always," again I say rejoice. And speaking for Paul's, you know, from Paul's letter, oh, I'd never heard something like that before. Just in that way, rejoice. This child telling me to rejoice, and from a child's mouth. I mean, that's God's light reflecting. Or if you listen to NPR like I did. There's a guy, I want to get his name right. The segment was, There's Always Hope. This is a Los Angeles police officer, Dion Joseph. Did anybody catch that? There's Always Hope. So Dion Joseph is a police officer in L.A., Skid Row. He's been there for 17 years. He grew up, as he described, in the time of Rodney King, and he's an African-American, big dude. And wasn't really interested in police officers that much, you know, being who he was, a young black man. But he needed a job, and so he became a police officer. And this beat is where he went, to the place where there's it's just the worst place you could be if you're going to be a human. You know, there's lots of drugs, lots of homeless, lots of mentally ill people, lots of people on the street that can cause problems. And so this story was following him as he's been doing this for 17 years. And as you listen to this guy, I mean, this guy is a hero. This guy is incredible. Go online to NPR because they have these backstories. And just listen to that, you know, because it's probably 6 minutes of your time. But I promise you, the light that shines through him will just brighten your day. Because, you know, he, as you hear him interacting with people, always respect people. Know him after 17 years, for those who are still around after 17 years, on some of the ways that people live in that part of the world, that he is reliable and he is a faithful person and he speaks with authority and walks with authority because he cares and he brings hope. And so the last part of this story is he's interacting with someone and then she leaves. And he says, you know, that person is probably going to go around the corner and go into her tent and smoke some crack. That's probably going to happen. And, you know, it happens all the time. But if I can just show respect to her and just tell her and show her hope, there could be a time when she could change. And that's why I do this, because it's happened for him. And that's why I do this, because I know that I am a diamond. I am a jewel. I am a wonderfully created jewel of God to shine hope and love in this desperate place. That's the hero of the week for me, Dion Joseph. Dion Joseph, an awesome guy. So how do we shine? Do you know that you are God's treasure? Because you are. We all are. There may be times when we don't feel so bright. If you use the dime image of diamond, we might not be as bright as we want to be. We might be tarnished. It might be like, that is a very dirty coin. Or it might be an old coin. Maybe we feel, I don't know what God has to offer for me. But all of us sitting here today, yeah, all of us, nope, no exceptions, even Ray, especially Ray, we all have something to offer because we are God's jewel. We are God's jewel that shines grace onto the world. So think about what you could do individually. And imagine, again, we did a good job a couple years ago when we first came here of getting in cahoots with the school across the street. What are some other ways that we as a church could shine bright together? You know, in Acts, there's the story of people as they came to faith and they realized maybe we should work together. And so it says in there they had all things in common. So I'm thinking an example would be, and you know, here's Pastor Eric getting all crazy again, but that's just how it is. That's what God calls me to do, is get crazy for you so you can get crazy for the Lord as well. But what if the Gus that we're creating, the garden utility shed, that's what some people are calling that Gus, the garden utility shed, that what if we made that even bigger, for example, and we had a tool exchange within the congregation so that not everybody needs to have an edger. And I'm not talking about a crappy one, but a good one that one of us has, that you don't need to have that edger at your house every second. Put it in the tool exchange shed so that people check it out. There are lots of churches that do this. It's not an idea I thought of. It's an idea I read about. But have a tool exchange just within the congregation. Imagine that if you needed a wood chipper. Or imagine that if you... maybe you mow your lawn once a month. Oh, that'd be great. But there's a lawnmower there. In fact, there's three, and they're all good lawnmowers that you can use anytime. An electric one. I mean, that's a simple example. What if we took our Ed building, and under good authority I have, that we could expand that Ed building and create a larger space in there to do some different things for the community. Like, for example, I believe at Amazing Grace, when we were in Aberdeen, we started a youth shelter, a homeless youth shelter. I think that's not a bad ministry to make sure there's a safe and warm place for people, for kids 13 through 17 who are homeless. I believe it's not a bad ministry to have a space like that could help those kids. And in Aberdeen, we made it happen. And that's little old Aberdeen. That's Grays Harbor. We're in big old Lacey. So that should be no problem. I know a guy. If that's something that sounds good, I know a guy who can help us do that. It's the same guy who helped us in Aberdeen who now has a larger territory with Catholic Community Services. So I know a guy. Those are two examples of we, of what we can do. We are all created in the image of God. We are all called to shine forth the grace that God shines to us, and then through us of mercy and grace and forgiveness and healing. And so all we have to do is answer the question of Jesus. Give to the things that are Caesar, and give God the things that are God's. Amen.